Psalm 139, 13 and 16. For you were formed
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, here we are again. This is Pastor David, and I'm with...
Pastor Barry.
All right. Praise God. Glad we could do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, if you were listening, we were starting a three-week theme on the body of Christ and the character of the Good Shepherd and mm-hmm. the fact that the body of Christ needs to reveal Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to the world, not just by telling them, but by doing what the Good Shepherd would have us do. And, you know, with any shepherding, mm-hmm. any flock of sheep, there's always going to be a time when one of them wanders off.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's true for sheep. It's also true for people.
Folks. Oh, yeah.
Folks like us. And this is, in fact, what the church is primarily focused on is Jesus as the Good Shepherd and the head of the body of Christ, is getting his parts, getting the parts of the body of Christ, which is you and me, by the way, to be going out in his name, in the power of the Spirit, and finding the lost and bringing them back. Now that, of course, I've got some scripture I want to share with you, and then Barry and I are basically going to unpack that. Because we're hearing this too, even though, you know, we make sure we do this as part of our ministry, but to hear people need to hear what their role, your shepherds by virtue of baptism, you know, you don't have to have a seminary certificate hanging on the wall or...
Oh, no. I mean, if you think about the Great Commission, he wasn't talking to only the ordained.
Oh, no. In fact, the bulk of the people weren't and never would be.
That's right, David.
So anyway, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And in fact, after we're done tonight and the show is over, you can stay in 15th chapter of Luke and you can go down and read the parable of the prodigal son.
Yes.
Which is, and yet Jesus' whole chapter builds on the theme of finding the lost. So, all right, now said Luke 15, first seven verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. Him being Jesus, of course. Mm-hmm. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." I've known people like that, Barry. Yeah, you have too.
They always sound like that.
They always sound like that. Yeah. So anyway, so he told them this parable. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" Now this last verse, verse 7, is critical. "Just so," Jesus says to them, "just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now, as a postscript, I would say that those 99, when they were lost and came to Christ, there was rejoicing for them.
Right.
But it's for the lost. It's the ones that don't know the Lord that we are sent to enable them to meet him in us.
And you know, that being said, David, this requires a commitment and trust in God, because you may see a lost sheep. It could be standing on your street corner asking for $5.
Yeah.
Or it could be someone who is a ne'er-do-well that the neighborhood wants to get rid of, and you know they've got the pitchforks and the torches and everything else and the dogs barking. And yet the Holy Spirit calls you.
Yeah.
I want you to go find that sheep and bring them back into the fold.
Yeah.
And your average Joe will say, "Me? Why, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I don't know what to say, and you know, I don't have any skill set like that. You know, you need to talk to this guy at church. He's great at pontificating. And no, I want you to do it. And yeah. This is where you need to be obedient, because I tell you what, friends, when God asks you to do something and you shrug your shoulders and say, no, thank you, or I'm not worthy, you're never going to be completely full of joy or fulfilled or happy.
Yeah.
You may be somewhat happy, you know, but that's going to nag at you. It's going to eat at you, because that's a separation right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's awkward. And you don't want to have that awkwardness between you and God. You need to take that first step forward and get moving. And God will equip you, and he'll give you the words, and he'll give you the wherewithal to get the job done, if you are sincere in your heart and trusting God.
And stepping out in faith is, you know, it sounds easier to say it than it is to do it. But then some people would be saying, and I know if this were me 40 years ago, or 45, I've known the Lord since 1976, but I can't do the math. So let's just say before I met Jesus, I was hearing someone like me and you, Barry, talking about this, and I would say, well, what? All right, so, and me, knowing me, I would say, okay, I want to be a believer. I want to do this. And so, but now I'm going to have to go through an entire planning process. You know, it's going to take me maybe weeks,
right?
You know, to study and get the and figure out what vector I need to take for this shepherding thing. You know, and I'm going to make a big deal out of it,
because you're a very detail-oriented person. You need to have this plan in triplicate.
Horrible! it's like, you know, the what's that the three letters that now it's amazing I can't think of it. But that makes me very obsessive compulsive. Oh. OCD.
Right.
OCD. My family, by the way, invented it. So if you have it, don't give thanks. You couldn't give thanks to my family.
It would be the Francorian syndrome.
Francor syndrome, yes. but anyway, being serious, back to being serious, I guess.
Right.
But so I'll give you an example of how... You know, you're out in the world. I mean, what do you do? You know, you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to go to work, maybe. If you don't work, maybe you're going to go shopping. You're going to be out there somewhere running into people. If you're a believer, then you just know, you know, you're going to know that you're going to run into several people in the course of a day, generally. If you're going out, you're going to run into cashiers and, you know, you're going to people that you're going to sit next to having coffee or lunch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to have to, by the way, shake everybody's tree. You know, you're not going to have to spend your day going up and grabbing everybody's lapels and telling them, because God's going to tell you the ones that he really wants you. But as an example, so several years ago, we were having lunch with a pastor. And as the after the server came and took our orders, and, you know, we were talking and just talking about this, that we're actually talking to him about going with his denomination, and so and he was giving us some information and, of course, interviewing us as well. So anyway, the server came back, brought our food, and as the food was delivered, he looks up at the server and he says, you know, we're gonna thank God for this food, and we would be remiss if we did not ask you if you needed any prayer. Is there anything in your life that's going on that, you know, you would like to give to God for his blessing or his guidance or his healing or whatever? Well, you know, I'd never experienced that particular form of outreach, but I was impressed by it. And so the server actually kind of got thoughtful and said, well, you know, I do have a need, and he shared it. And just really then had to go back to the kitchen or whatever. So we prayed when the food came. Actually, it had come. So we gave God thanks, and our pastor friend used the name of the server and asked for the need to be met.
Right.
And then later on, when he came back with the bill, we told him, you know, that we lifted him up and we praised God, and, you know, we'll continue to pray for them after the meal. But point is, my wife and I adopted that process, which we do often when we go out. And some people are very, you know, they really... Oh, they'll smile and thank you, but no, they don't want to give. No, okay, that's okay. We're not going to force you.
But, you know, when you ask, there will be someone. That's why you're doing it, David. There will be someone out there who says yes. Because we don't know what people are carrying in their hearts.
We don't.
You never know. There's a smile on their face. You know, the color seems okay in their cheeks, but, you know, we don't know what's going on in their hearts. And
yeah,
I think that's brilliant, and it's a wonderful way of ministering.
It was a God thing. You know, it was really God gave it to us. And I'm encouraging our listeners, if you're a believer and you do pray for people, and because you know now, especially you know now that you're a shepherd, Jesus wants to shepherd through you. It's a very shepherding thing. It's a very caring thing to ask people if they need prayer.
Right.
You know, and if they're a server and they, you know, and they're not a believer, they're probably not going to rebuff you in a nasty way because you haven't given them the tip yet.
Right.
But, you know, the point being is that, you know, you can always tell if they're a little uncomfortable and, you know, you don't get pushy. But for many people, you're going to find that you're tapping into a great spiritual hunger. Because they don't believe, but yet they have the incredible need. They want to believe in a God who loves them and who wants to bless them and their loved ones too.
Right.
And so that's a form of shepherding. It's easy to do. And I'll tell you what, you'll be totally super blessed in doing it. And God will use you in powerful ways. So that's one example, a simple example.
I love it, David. It's a great example and something everybody can do. And now that COVID's calming down a little bit, more people go out to restaurants. So
that's right.
I hope to witness that myself when I'm out sometime. And I'll have to ask them if they're a WCNO listener.
Well, he can do that too. Hey. A little icing on the cake there.
I have a story too, David.
Yeah, tell the story.
It's not necessarily one that you would think would be a shepherd's story. And it didn't happen in a church setting or even in a Christian setting, but it's something that stuck with me, and it happened many, many years ago. Before I was a pastor, and before I got involved with all this, I was in the medical field. I worked in respiratory therapy in, I will leave it as an unnamed hospital.
Yeah.
And I worked in critical care, and it's kind of a scary area, and we had a great team. And the reason we had a great team is that we had a director who was quite willing to go the extra mile for each and every person. He had a deep love and respect for all of his fellow therapists. And it was a big hospital. We had about 75 therapists there. And so there was a moment in time where one of our really talented respiratory therapists began to fall apart. The pressures got to him, and everybody tries to fill up that void or maybe tamp down the horrors that you see, the memories you have of what you've seen. A lot of death, David, a lot of tragedy.
Sure.
And so he became alcoholic. And not just alcoholic, but apparently in his practice of alcoholism, if I could borrow that phrase, he would get extremely combative and vindictive and just not the nice fella he normally was. And this happened one evening around dinner time when my director was home with his family, and he gets a phone call from the wife of this therapist saying, I'm about to call the police or the SWAT team or something because he's locked himself in the house and he's got a gun. And he ran me off and we're all frightened, but I just don't know what to do. And I know this is going to go on his record and he loves his job. And my director at the time said, don't call anybody. I'll be right there. And he was a fast driver anyway. He went to a part of town that's not so great. And this, I had to paint the picture, and I'm not as good as David about this, but this director was tall and skinny to the point where when he walked down the hall, you could hear his scrubs fluttering in the breeze, that kind. And the guy he was going to see looked like a fullback in the NFL, a good blocking fullback. And he walked past the neighbors, and he walked past the wife and the children, and he opened the door in a dark house and stepped forward. To help save his friend who had a gun drawn and who was blind drunk, I think is the term, blind drunk. And he closed the door behind him, and he was in there for a good 2 hours. Now, right there, he didn't have to do that.
Right.
He could have had the authorities take care of everything, but he had another plan because he loved this guy.
Yeah.
He loved him deep enough to risk his own life because he could have been blown away I hear that it was a very large weapon. Now, David, you know about weapons. I don't. But he said mm-hmm. the barrel of the gun was about 1 foot wide in diameter when you're staring yeah. down it. But yeah. what he did was he sat down on the floor with this guy, and he let him vent, and he let him cry. And all he showed him was love
yeah.
and patience and sincere caring and compassion. And the gun was finally thrown to the side. And the guy was not taken to the police station. He was taken to get some psychiatric care mm-hmm. and the care that he truly needed. Because yeah. he was lacking the tools to deal with the chaos and the frightening nature of life itself, if not the ICU and the critical care world. Long story short is the respect level for both of them went through the ceiling because that guy fought mm-hmm. his way back to sobriety.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
And he was one of the best respiratory therapists I've wow. ever met. So, and our boss, who we dearly loved anyway, we just held him in very high esteem.
Mm.
Like I say, a true shepherd, a loving shepherd, doesn't care for his own life.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's there for the one that is lost. And you know what? I learned from him, and I wasn't a pastor, a minister, preacher, none of that. But I always look back on that as a good pastor would do that, David.
Yes.
He would stand between the end of someone's career and disaster and just love them up and understand them and not judge one iota. No judgment whatsoever, just total support. And when we look at our scriptures here, that's what Jesus is talking about, the difference mm-hmm. between him and what David and I were kidding about, a hired hand, a hired temporary, a temp.
Yeah,
wouldn't do
right.
that. And going back to our scripture, you have to realize where Jesus was preaching this and what he's talking about, because sheep aren't the smartest animals in the world.
And sadly, you're right.
This is a mountainous yeah. area. One wrong step and you're going down too.
Right.
You know, and the hired hand's going to run away. I'm not going to do that. You've got 99 sheep over here. We're fine. We're good. No. Every sheep, every person, every soul has that kind of value.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that story.
It's a great story.
No, my friend is not a preacher, pastor, but he's a good church-going man.
Yeah.
And he's faithful. But I just had to share that because sometimes people preach by the way in which they live their life. And people mm-hmm. sometimes would rather watch a sermon than hear a sermon.
Mm.
And in that particular instance, I watched a sermon, David.
Yeah, I'll bet you did.
Yeah.
And it tells me that there are some sheep that are going to wander to the point where they're going to be standing right in front of the wolf's den
mm-hmm.
when the shepherd finds them. And that's where this your fellow therapist was.
That's right.
In his alcoholism and his pain and suffering, and that's where that shepherd, your boss, got him right there because he was ready to walk into that wolf's den
and
get eaten up.
That's right. And, you know, it says in this Bible here that the heavenly host will rejoice for just having found one sheep.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we get there, David, we're in the kingdom,
mm.
there are some people that I want to see. Now, they're not the A-list in the Bible. It's probably the B-list, but I'm assuming yeah. there'll be a line for all the famous people, you know. Moses, the line's going to be wrapped around heaven several times.
No doubt. Yeah.
But I want to talk to the people yeah. that were saved
yeah.
in various situations in our Bible. And I want to know what happened the rest of their life. Mm. Did they become shepherds then?
Yeah.
Did the people that put the nails in Jesus Christ's hands later become not only disciples but shepherds?
It's very likely.
That's the power of God.
You know, that's as possible as anything else because we don't know their story, but
right.
We know that they were connected to Jesus. Although they were doing their job, but we would see bad things, but that's all they knew.
Right.
But
until they knew Christ.
Until they knew Christ, and you know, there are several. Yeah, they're nameless. Aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, there's
but
no
except to God. But somebody, some shepherd was sent to them.
Mm-hmm.
And did they become shepherds?
That's the way it works.
I think if they met Jesus, if they received him as Lord and Savior, that they would become. Because what we've been saying is that in our baptism, that we're called to be shepherds, letting Jesus work through us,
right,
to bring the shepherd's love, compassion, and mercy, and saving. Because in all of this, the thing that the scriptures is pointing to is the shepherd is postured to save the sheep because they can't save themselves.
You know, before I was ordained, there was an archbishop who sat me down and he said, "Do you really want to do this?" And it's an odd question to hear the eve of your ordination.
Yes. Yeah.
But he said, several things are going to occur in your life now when you're a pastor, when you're a minister. When the townspeople have their pitchforks and torches and dogs and they want to break the guy out of jail just to hang him, you're not in the crowd. You're in the cell shepherding that person. Right. You're trying to bring them back from the gates of hell.
Right.
And that's what you're positioning yourself to be if you're going to go ahead with this. And there's going to be a target on your back because there are people in the world who don't want a shepherd around because they're busy doing evil things. And yes, you're representing Christ. And they don't want to hear that. They don't want to see that because they have a plan, David. They're going to take care of themselves. We got this. We're going to take care of it. And you step in as a shepherd. It both confuses people who don't know Christ, baffles them maybe. How could you love a person that just wiped out a town? Or how could you love them?
Yeah.
And then for those who are afraid to take the step forward to be a shepherd, they will watch what you're doing and say, I can do that.
Yeah.
If he can do that, I'm going to go ahead and make a go of it. I will be a shepherd. So you're always, like I said, you know, you're preaching the gospel by what you're doing.
Exactly.
And taking that step and stepping out in faith.
And I think at that point, it's more of what you're doing than what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, later on, you may say some things that will help explain your actions, but Jesus is a shepherd of action, right? And for many who are listening today, I would say, think back to the time when you met the Lord. Everybody remembers when they were saved, usually. And think back to what was going on just before you accepted the Lord. And what brought you to the foot of the cross. That's the shepherding of Christ Jesus. Because you're a sheep that was lost and he saved you. And now you're in a position for him to use you as someone whom he can reach out through your life, through your actions and your words, and save another lost sheep. That's the essential work of the church.
And when you bring someone to the foot of the cross as a shepherd, the best gift that I could ever have, David, is that somewhere down the line, long after I'm gone, there'll be a shaky old person saying, I came to the Lord back in 2020. Yeah, well, who brought you to the Lord? I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
That's a gift to me because I don't want to be any part of that where they think I was the actuator, that I was the one who's saving them. We don't save anybody.
I don't save anybody.
But we'll shepherd them toward the cross.
Amen.
We bring them to the Holy Shepherd.
Yep.
And then we back off. And they have their intimate moment with Christ.
And it's often our story that no matter what, whatever our story is, whoever we knew we were before we met Jesus and who we are today, it's in the telling of that story that they hear the work of the Good Shepherd and they hear the love that they want for themselves. And frankly, now, let me say to you as an aside here, it's probably likely that most of the people in the hearing of our voices were not notorious sinners, you know, of great repute and infamy in the human community. We're not talking to people who were mass murderers or who were drug lords or, you know, whatever. Right. Although some who were hearing today were kind of like that when they met Jesus. But for most of us, you know, we're average people, you know, that I met Jesus and he changed my life.
Right.
And what he's been doing since then. And that's what people need to hear. You don't have to be a notorious sinner.
Right.
You don't have to be infamous.
You don't have to be the one who stands up in a meeting and says, well, before I came to the Lord, there was a price on my head. And, you know, some people do.
Yeah.
I met a fellow who's one of our colleagues who said that he went to a meeting and says, I didn't do any of that. I just came to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's okay.
90% of us or more, that's it, right. You know? And so don't go out and do stuff just so you can have a great witness. You've got a great witness right now, because anytime you can tell a story about who you were before you met Jesus and who you have become in him, that's enough.
That's enough. You don't have to go out and commit all kinds of crimes.
Absolutely not. And so don't worry about that. We're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to offer a prayer.
Please do, David.
For our listeners. And I'm particularly, again, we have a heart for everybody, but we're really focusing in on believers and helping them understand their role of shepherding. So, Father God, I just lift up our listeners today, and for those that really know you and they hunger, and maybe they're hitting the wall because they're not moving forward in their lives. They know you, Lord Jesus, but there's a lack of fulfillment, a lack of a sense of purpose right now. Maybe it wasn't always that way, Lord, but it is today. And my prayer is, Lord, that you would open their hearts to the simple truth that you want to be the good shepherd through their lives. You want to give them every bit of grace, that you want to activate, ignite their heart with your love, your compassion, your mercy, so that they can go out sent by your Spirit. And in bringing you in that way to those who are still in darkness, that, Father, the light of Christ will be shed in those lives.
Mm.
And when they see that light for the very first time, many of them, and sense, even smell the aroma of hope, that they will turn to you through our brothers and sisters who are seeking to serve you in a meaningful way today. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I hate to say it, brother, but it's time for us to go.
Are you sure? Well, you got
the
clock.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at these big orange numbers on the on the computer screen. But we promise we'll be back next week in the third of our three sessions on the Good Shepherd, and our shepherding will be done. I'll even tell you now, the theme is the body of Christ, bread, water,
and
light. Yes, so tune in. 5:30 a.m. or p.m. or listen to us on WCNO's On Demand.
That's
from
right.
The website. And until then, may God bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and grant you his peace this day and forevermore.
Amen. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.